Father, Graham, let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, Lord. Thank you for Frank being here. Lynn, Norman, Monica, and myself, pray for those that are meeting right the way across the world, Lord. I pray that your good hand would be upon all of them, Lord, and us as well. Wherever your word's being preached, wherever, Lord, people are gathered together in your name, please be one of our people. You know all the things that's going on in the world right now, Lord, and you know that, goodness, it's just happening like it says in the Bible, and we always wondered how it would happen, and now that it is. Lord, please, I pray, continue to oppose those that hate you, that hate your creation, and please bless those that continue to reach out, Lord, and see others do it for the cross. Please bless our time now, Lord, our prayers, our praises, our tithes, our offerings, our fellowship, our reading and our preaching and teaching, Lord, please bless them. Help them all to be a help to us. And whomever might be listening on the CDs or on the internet. Please look after the folks on the road, Lord. Just think especially on Stephen and Anne Marie and Carol and Harry and Terence McLaughlin, for Norman and Joan, for Jane and Corey, for Michael and Krista and the kids and Henry and Eva. And Lord, just pray for souls to be saved. We love you and thank you. We pray all this in the name of your Son Christ Jesus. Oh, 421 in the big books, 421. We'll start with that. It's the first hymn, and it's called the First Noel. Amen. And remain seated as we sing.
Angels did say.
time to swap books, and we'll find another one of those good old songs to sing near the back. If you'd like to take the black books and go to 79. Yep, that's the penultimate hymn in the books. Number 79. This is one called Good Christian Men Rejoice. And if you're fit, we'll stand as we sing. If you're not, just remain seated.
The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly, rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord, and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb man, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those that wear the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Amen.
Thank you.
Normally we would do prayer requests and things right about now. I was going to say we'll not do them, but we have at least one to do. We have to fill in a thanks for Frank getting home safe and sound and Ling as well. So I'm going to put that in here. You're here for how long, Frank?
8 days. No, 7. 8 days, 7 or 8.
Long job. Has anybody got any prayer requests?
I appreciate continued prayers for Mom, although she is beginning currently to improve.
Any other prayer requests? Please do pray for Pat and Steve. And Steve has a brother-in-law by the name of Steve Plant, who was, I think, just a couple of weeks ago, was given a very serious, unexpected cancer diagnosis and told that he had about 5 or 6 weeks to live. So he has about 3 weeks left, according to the doctors. He complained for a long time about pains. And eventually they did an MRI on him and found that he had wee bits of cancer the whole way through his body and in his bones. So please do pray for the Plant family. I think they might be down there somewhere under Pat and Steve. Please do pray for them at this time. Can't really think of anything else. My dad's coming up to visit. Appreciate your prayers for that. My brother might be visiting too. And over Christmas. So looking forward to not doing very much. In fact, even doing the prayer list makes it seem not like a holiday period. So, but I know people still have things that they're thinking about and praying about. So please do that. Just pray for folks and call out their names. There's a bunch of stuff going on in the world. When you can find a little bit of peace and joy, just take it and enjoy that, because there'll be plenty of work to do whenever it's all done. Especially if you've lots of kids and you buy everything on tick and Mr. Visa or Mr. MasterCard comes knocking in January. So please do pray, folks. Folks are going to get tough times this coming year. Everybody will get a little bit more difficult, so please do pray for each other. I think that's really about that. There's nothing else, is there? No? Yeah. Okay, let's pray. And then we'll sing another song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for your many helps and blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your good hand upon us as we go on. Let us always remember, Lord, that just because we're not struck dead for the things that we do does not mean that you're okay with the things that we do, but that you're being patient with us and hoping that we learn. To that end, Lord, I pray for those that have been and gone, that you would restore the backslider and the compromiser. I pray, Lord, for those that can't be out, I pray especially for Pat and Steve and their health issues, Lord. Please help them, I pray. Pray for Will too. I know I'm sure he's probably home by now, but please just watch over him as he travels up and down to Belfast and as he applies for this new job, supervisor's position in SEA. Pray too for the Plant family, Lord. Pray for Steve Plant, Lord, that there will be an opportunity for Pat or Steve just to speak to them and to maybe open their eyes about eternity, Lord. Pray too for Frank's up and coming operation in about a month's time. Pray that you would lead and guide in that particular field, Lord, and you would give Frank wisdom and everything that he needs for it. For the surgeons and the nurses and all the preparation, we pray most importantly for your will. Lord, thank you as well for giving Monica's mom a good night's rest. And I pray that this would be the start of many good nights' rest and further recovery and recuperation. Lord, bless us now. And I pray you, Father, please, that you would find the rest of our hymns, Christmas carols, if you want to call them that, acceptable in your sight. And Father, most importantly, that people would understand that whenever everything's taken away from it, there is only one thing people can't take from us, and that's you. Please, Lord, don't forsake us. You've promised that you'd never leave us nor forsake us, and please, Lord, please always, Lord, tap us on the shoulder. Please always remind us, Lord. Please always strengthen and comfort us. Please deliver unto us our daily bread. We love you and thank you. Let's pray all these things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's take those hymn books again and we'll sing another Christmas song. Black ones again this time. Hymn number 76, Once in Royal David's. We'll remain seated. We'll stand for the next one.
Thank you.
we are going to be continuing on a series of sermons that will probably take us right up until Christmas Day, and that should be that. We've been talking on the subject of I'll be back. I think this might be part three. I think it's part three. And we are, we are going to be doing our reading out of Book of Matthew this evening. Book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, beginning at chapter 1. And we are going to, in fact, you know what, let's make it Matthew chapter 2. Yeah, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And we're speaking on the subject of I'll be back. Matthew chapter 2, the Word of God says, there's 23 verses here and we're going to read them all. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all of the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go hither, notwithstanding being warned of God in the dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Amen. Let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this little bit of time in your word. I pray that you would open our understanding of it and help us, Lord, to be a help. We are not going to dwell for very long in this portion of God's word. We will spend more on Christmas Day morning. Service will be as usual at 11 o'clock, if I have to think about that. And we will be eating probably around about 1:30 or 2 up at the house, if you're coming. That's what time you need to be there. Bring your trousers with the elasticated waists, and you'll be okay. Remember that Frank used to put on a few pounds before January. Amen. A lot of people don't like the birth of Jesus. And it's an amazing thing, because it was such a wonderful event. I can't think of anywhere else that all of the angels appeared in the sky above Bethlehem and praised and worshipped God for his love towards us and for the great redemption that was given to the whole world. There's no other place, no other instance of such a thing being done in no other religion. Never did God ever enter into the realm of man. Never did a God ever give of himself to his followers. In every other religion, the God of that religion expects the followers to do all of the running. Do the best you can to get to heaven. Do this, give that, go there. That's what gods always expect to do. But never did a God, and when I say a God, I'm just referring to all of the gods, that never did they ever do something like this. But not only that, never was there a God that could reach into the past just as easily as he could live in the present, and I reach for that book, as he could reach into the future and record for us the things that are in this Bible. And I just want to, we spoke about a few things there. The one that still intrigues me still is still the star, and that's worth a little bit of study. But some of the prophecies of the birth of Jesus Christ, they stretch, well, the type stretches the whole way back to the Garden of Eden, but the very specifics, I'd like to give you a few. It said, the Lord is going to come back, and this will be a sign unto you that a virgin shall be with child. And that was Mary. Mary had a baby. That's in Isaiah 7 and 14. We have already read in Jeremiah where it said that one of the signs of Christ being born was the fact that in Ramah, in Bethlehem, there would be a great crying for the loss of all of their children when Herod went bonkers and killed all the little babies of 2 years old and under. We also have, way back in the book of Daniel, that there would be a period of 483 years from the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem, and that was in Nehemiah, until Messiah rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, on an ass, the foal of an ass, to be worshipped as Messiah one day and to be sacrificed for us as less than a thief just a day or two later. All of those things came to pass, and they all pointed to Jesus Christ, the birth of the Messiah. If we look away back in, I think it's in Isaiah 9, where it says, "For unto us a son is given, for unto us a child is born, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of his reign there shall be no end." A fulfillment, a child being born unto us, God Almighty. And all of these things converged just over 2,000 years ago in a little place called Bethlehem. We all know the story about how the Lord spoke to Joseph and Mary in dreams and even directly. And we all know that, well, there were a few people that were really, really pleased. Mary's cousin, she was really, really pleased because she was having her son, John the Baptist, who, and her mom and dad, already, or her dad, had already been spoken to by an angel. So she was really pleased. She, the Bible says the babe actually leapt in her womb whenever Mary and the unborn child Jesus came into their presence. You had, was it Elizabeth in the temple whenever Mary came to present him, and she prophesied over him as well. This is the one. This is the one, she said. There were so many people who were really, really pleased. The shepherds came just to worship. They had nothing to give, but they came to offer themselves. The wise men, just about 2 years later, when they came after a wee bit of hearing and there and trying to work out the years, you know, they landed when Jesus was a child of about 2 years old. That's not bad. They saw him. And they left gold and frankincense and myrrh, gifts with them. Now it says there were three gifts. It never says how many wise men there actually were. And all of these things pointed, converged at this particular time when Jesus was born. And people should be really hop, skipping and jumping when they think about this. Hold on a wee second. I'm going to tell you a wee story. Amazon, I think Jeff Bezos, the MD of Amazon, said people ought to be careful about buying big ticket items because next year is going to be difficult. And that's what one of the richest men, well, he used to be one of the richest men in the world, he made his wife one of the richest women in the world when he divorced her. But I checked Argos and I checked Amazon and I can steadily see all the TVs. One or two were out of stock. Now most of them are out of stock. People have gone ahead. And they have celebrated this time of year by buying their big ticket items. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. The people will be looking forward. Even tonight somewhere in town there will be a restaurant full of people celebrating what? Getting off for a few days and getting paid for it. We call it Christmas, and it's a statutory holiday. And Boxing Day is too, and you only get that if you're in Northern Ireland. I don't think they do it in England. They don't do it in America, but they do it. They do it over here. Yes, that's right. People get really excited. I think a lot of times that people think back to whenever they were little, and the thrill that they had of having these gifts that were free. That Santa brought for them. And only a few years later realized it was Mummy and Daddy spending the night putting all their toys together for them. People get really excited over these things. Maybe not so excited about the week after Christmas when Visa or MasterCard sends them their Christmas greeting. Dear John, here is your bill for Christmas. Please pay at your earliest convenience. But people get really excited. Over nothing. Over stuff, as somebody once said, that someday they'll have to leave behind. And somebody else will end up owning it, or using it, or doing whatever. We ought to be, like if someone said to you, Jesus is coming back. He said it there. And those things that we read, they span a time of thousands of years. Isaiah 53 is probably the best bit of prophecy about Jesus. And it tells us exactly what he came to do, to be a sacrifice for our sins, to take all our sins and iniquities upon himself. And God would be satisfied with this payment for sins. He even talked about how he would die. My goodness. People got excited about this. Now the Bible, it's still got more prophecies because Jesus said, well, the angels that stood by the people that watched Jesus go up under the clouds said, he's coming back. The same way he went up, he's going to come back. And you would think that people would be excited. God's coming back. He's going to come back and he's going to set up a kingdom in Israel. You would think that somebody would build him a palace. and have it done just perfect. You would think there would be millions of people. You would think the whole nation of Israel would be preparing themselves to receive their Savior. You would think that the kings of the earth and the leaders would have a little department set to one side that would be ready to integrate into this up and coming kingdom that the Lord is going to institute. You would think the churches would be saying, "Oh Lord, we can't wait till you come back." You would think that a lot of the other religions would start to die off because, well, let's just think of a few of the things. We read a few of the things that are mentioned in Matthew chapter 2 that refer to Jesus coming back as a child to give his life on the cross of Calvary. And people were looking for him. If we were to look today with the benefit of 2,000 years of study, with the benefit in our own lives of the time that we have spent in the Bible, and of course the masterful sermons that I have brought, you can laugh. I know they're not that masterful. If we were to look at them and say, you know the way all those things converge to point to Jesus, even being called a Nazarene when he was born in Bethlehem. And if you look in the Old Testament, type in the branch into your Bible search, you will see the branch appears in the Old Testament a few times in block capitals because it's one of the titles of Jesus Christ. And so by, in quotes, sheer coincidence, as Mary and Joseph were heading back to Bethlehem, they heard who was in charge and they went and stayed in Nazareth. They were a bit afraid. So Jesus would be called the branch. All of these things converge at the time that Jesus was born. If we were to look now, if you want to start with me, might as well get me out of the way. The Bible talks of before Jesus comes back that the guys in the pulpits are not doing their job. They're traitors, in fact. And traitors, heady and high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's what the Bible says the state of religion in general will be. The Bible also talks about the state of families. How people in general will be proud and covetous and boasters. Unholy and unthankful and disobedient to parents. Mockers and scoffers of those that are good. The Bible says turn away from them whether they be in the pew or in the pulpit. Turn away from them. So generally speaking, in Isaiah chapter 5, it says that everything would be back to front and upside down. That's the way, goodness, that's the way it is. Mothers are lining up to kill their little babies. At a time when mothers should be cherishing them and celebrating them, all they can do is think of, I'll not be able to celebrate very much because I'll be tied down at home looking after a child. They miss the point altogether. And fathers, they're the ones that's driving them to an abortion clinic. And instead of showing people that God can indeed help you, no matter where you are, what stage in your life you're in, they say, look, if you still feel the same way in a year, come back and see us and we will give you a lethal injection. That's what they're offering in Canada. But you know the leading cause of death in Canada is euthanasia. Government-sponsored death program. All the things that God says are precious have been, we have been programmed to think of them as filthy, as inconvenient, as troublesome. The Lord said, look out for a day whenever we can destroy each other completely. We've been living in those days for about 40 years, maybe more. We have the ability to utterly wipe ourselves out 7 or 8, maybe even 9 or 10 times. Look out for a day when Jesus comes back, every eye will be able to see him. We can do it. We've all got our phones in our hands and in our pockets. We can see anything anywhere in the world. Look out for a day when, excuse me, men's hearts fail them for fear. And how many men's hearts, young men's, young people's hearts are failing them right now? Not just the worry and not just the work, but look at the number of people that are dying because of COVID injections. Their hearts are quite literally failing. That's one of the biggest causes of death in people with COVID treatments. The Lord said, look out for a day when we'll be able to make images seem like they're alive. And we can. Again, once again, the phones that we carry produce video and films. That's one of the biggest selling points of 4G and 5G. You can watch videos on your phone. Why would you want to watch a blockbuster film on a 6-inch screen? I do not know. We have it. Look out for the day when you can get a mark in your right hand or in your forehead. And you'll not be able to buy or sell without it. Goodness, we're carrying them around in our wallets by way of a little chip or a strip on the back of our cash cards. And all they do is have a number on them that identifies you in your bank account. The Lord said, look out for a day whenever Israel is hated. Whenever Israel is a nation, and every nation hates them. And because of the leaders that we have in Britain and in America right now, I am afraid Israel's pretty much on our own. We live in those days. And all of these things, and there's a few more, but I'm not going to go into them all, they're all converging and roundabout now. And you would think that people would be saying, this is good, Jesus is coming back. You would think that. You would think that Christians would be dancing and jig because the coming of the Lord is so close. We're going to get to see him. We're going to get to worship him. We're going to get new bodies. The aches and the pains will be gone. The grey hairs and the flaky eyes, they'll all be gone, replaced with the stronger, faster, better equivalents, as they used to say on the Steve Austin, the $6 million man. You would think that people would be dancing a jig. Jesus said, I'm coming back. But it's very much not the case. There is a remnant. There's always a few people that are informed. There's always a few people that have just taken time from aside from the hustle and bustle in life and said, you know what, I'm not going to listen to the TV just like for an hour. I'm just going to see what God has to say to me. And here's a wee helpful hint for you. If you ever make a point of giving God just a little bit of time, by all means have a read at your Bible beforehand. And one of the things you should always say to God at some stage in your life is, do you know what, God? Whenever you go, Heavenly Father. And instead of bringing a big shopping list of your daily breads and your daily wants and the people that are having a difficult time, we should just say, do you know what, Lord? Why don't I let you have the first word? Why don't I listen to what you say and allow him to speak to you through verses of scripture that you've read? Allow him to put those together into a thought for you or a direction for you or wisdom for you. And if we did that and we were actually going the way we were supposed to be going instead of the way we want to be going, we would be saying, amen, Jesus is coming back. Let's tell people. Let's live a bit more like we're going to be going here. Let's not be wrapping our lives up in things and stuff and sensation and this, that and the other. Let's do God's will in our lives. And if we did that, we would be happy. And I'm not saying we don't do it. But I know there's a lot of people that sit in the church that don't do it. I had a very sad experience in my old Presbyterian church. It was always a prayer of mine. I wanted to go and preach the gospel in my old church. And it happened when my mother passed away, and I insisted on saying a few words. And the people said they had never heard anything like that. And that was nearly 20 years ago. I was not an experienced speaker, and there were a few tears shed as I spoke. And yet, for all the bit of the gospel that I was able to clearly explain, it was like fresh water to someone that was dying of thirst. And that's pretty much the state that the church is in. Jesus, thousands of years ago, says whenever he walked in the world, whenever he talked with Adam and Eve, whenever he dealt with Abraham, whenever he spoke to Elijah and the prophets, he says, I'm coming back. I'm going to come as a child, and this is when I'll be appearing. And they wrote it down and said, this is for the next generation, this is Jesus coming back. And he did that 2,000 years ago, and he put it in his book and said, you know what, I'm coming back. This is where we stand right now. We are quite literally, we are standing in the days of John the Baptist for this present time. What John the Baptist said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. We stand in those days right now. Jesus is coming back, he's not here yet, so what should we be doing? We should be preparing the way of the Lord and making straight his paths in our own lives. And the thing with being a Christian is that people are so nosy and so opinionated that at some stage they're going to ask you what you're doing. Then you have to tell them, Jesus is coming back, and I'm making sure things are ready for me in my life, in the lives of those around about me. He is coming back. The way things are going in the world, the setting up even of the 10 kings, it wasn't until very recently when, and sometimes as I am a bit of a slow learner, one of the little portions of scripture in Revelation, I'd always be praying to the Lord, Lord, what does that mean? That great horde of that comes up out of the bottomless pit, making the sound of thunder and like locusts and this, that, and the other. And I thought, do you know what that could be? That could be like thousands upon thousands of drones just operating with a swarm computer. That could be exactly what that is, each one armed with an anti-personnel device. That's exactly what that could be. All of these things are possible right now. All of these things are happening right now. The 10 kings in the world, I'm not going to get them all, but you have Australia and New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern back there, you have Kim Jong-un, you have Xi Jinping in China, you have Putin in Russia. I don't know who's heading up the common market or the EEC right now, but that's one more person set up like a king. You have the king setting himself up on Downing Street, the king in America, you have the king in Canada. I don't know how many that is, 7, 8, 9. You've got Africa, which is pretty split up, and South America, which is pretty much the same. But we're nearly there. All of these things point to a soon return of Jesus Christ. We should be glad that he's coming back. I know a lot of times we think we have very, very important things to do. Things that if we don't get them done, the world is going to stop spinning and we're going to shoot off into space at about 24,000 miles per hour. I guarantee you that the things that thrill you most in this world are nothing compared to what God has for you in heaven. I guarantee you. So let that give you a little bit of perspective on what waits for us afterwards. When these bodies are done, when God calls us up to heaven, it is going to be beyond anything that we could imagine. God is coming back. We're going to speak about his previous return on Sunday, Lord willing. But he is coming back. And I believe, I honestly don't know of anything that is going to happen before God comes back. All of the other prophecies have pretty much been fulfilled. Jesus is coming soon. As it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, what manner of person ought you to be? In all holiness, and I think it's righteousness or something like that. 2 Peter chapter 3. So what manner of person ought you to be? Stopping there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. We're in the big thick hymn book for our closing hymn, if you'd like to take and turn there. Let me just find it. Give me a second. 247. 247 is not a Christmas poem. It's one called Saved, Saved. And if you're able, let's stand and we will sing. Saving us, thank you for loving us, preserving us, and provisioning us. And I pray, Lord, that you would come quickly. But Lord, if there's anything that there is that we need to do for you while we're still here, just impress it upon our hearts and minds. We love you and thank you. Thank you for your many answered prayers. And Lord, we just leave these things at your feet. Lord, and let us give a wee moment or two of our time this next week or so. Over to you. We love you and thank you. We pray it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. I just wanted to say as well, thank you very much for your prayers. I have awful headaches and a difficult day on Sunday. And it cleared up on sort of Monday morning, And I was able to do a bit of work on Tuesday, so all gone, whatever that sign of smart was. So thank you very much indeed. Folks, shake hands and fellowship for a while. We're dismissed.